Okay, the points that have been made up to now in the last few hundred shades, that the personal nature of the Supreme Lord is not artificially imposed, it's not an illusion, it's real, it's essential to his very nature, his very being. And he's got two kinds of energies, his internal energy and his external illusory energy, and they have contrary qualities. But still, he's the foundation of both of them. So now we have some statements from Bhagavatam that support this idea that he has these mutually contrarily functioning energies, material and spiritual. A statement from the fourth canto, 17th chapter. Tata sargadi yosyanunudnadhi shaktibir dravyakriya karaka chetanatma bihi tasmai samudnadha virudha shaktaye narak namak parasmai purushaya vedase. Tikacha. Well, let's read the verse first. And also, there's the statement, obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, who makes favorable arrangements for the creation and so on of this cosmos, with his energies comprising substance activity and the performers of activity. Consciousness and self-identity. I have to put an extra comma in here. Hold on a second. Insert. Darn it. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, put a comma. He makes favorable arrangements for the creation and so on of this cosmos with his energies comprising substance activity and performers of activity, consciousness and self-identity. He has his energies which consist of dravya, priya, karaka, Chaitana. Okay, he has his. Okay, the physical elements, the energies in the world that cause activities of various kinds, the living entities who are actors, and their consciousness. These are all factors. And these are his energies, all of them. Continuing the translation. These energies of his are sublime and appear in contrary ways. Samudnata viruta shaktaye. Samudnata is elevated. Srila Sridhar Swami comments on this verse. Tikacha anurunadhi anuvartate koroti dravyani mahabhutani priya indriyani karaka deva chetana buddhihi atma ahankaraha taik shakti rupaik samunnadha samutkata viruta shaktayo yasya itiesha. Itiesha is the way that he marks the end of a citation from Sri Rasami's commentary. Such is that commentary, Tika. Translation. Sridhar Swami comments on this verse.
Arunadhi. No, not Arunadhi. Anuruddhi. Anuruddhi. Anurunadhi. Okay. Okay, we have it spelled wrong here. Spelled wrong. Okay. In the translation, I have it wrong. Anurunadhi, from Rud, Datu. Rudadi, it's a ninth class verb. Anurunadhi means obliges or produces. Anurud means to, rud means to stop, to check, but anurud means to give someone permission. So I say oblige. The Sanskrit here is anuvartate, which is literally follows. I make a request. Could you make pakoras tonight? And I say, okay, I'll make pakoras. So I'm in a sense, following your request. I'm obliging you. I say, I don't have to do it, but I agree to do it. Like that. He voluntarily doesn't have to, but he agrees to follow the request. Anuvartate, Shri Swami says. And then he gives a second gloss. He does it. He agrees. What is he agreeing to? He's agreeing to the idea, the purposes of creating, maintaining, and destroying. He's going along with them. Creating, maintaining, and destroying, or having a material world, is not the program that the Supreme Lord makes up for himself. He does it just to oblige the living entities, because they want it. So he's just going along with the living entities' idea. With his energies, he's creating everything for their desire. Okay, so that's Sri Swami very concisely says that by glossing Anurunadhi as follows and then as does. He does the creation and so on, but really just to humor the living entities. The substances, Dravyani, are the primary elements, the Mahabhutas. The activities, Kriya, are the senses. The senses are active. And the actors, the Karakas, are the demigods. Consciousness is actually intelligence. The self is Ahankar, false ego. Not the soul, but a false ego. These are the material energies that the Lord employs. Then Sri Swami continues, with these kinds of potencies, he has exalted sublime energies. Samunada is the word in the verse. Sri Swami's gloss on it is samutkata, exalted energies, which are contrary to one another. And then this verse was spoken by Sri Maitreya to Vidura, the verse under discussion, 417, something. Yeah, spoken by Maitreya to Vidura. I have Niruddha? The BBT has Niruddha. Let's see if I have that noted. Yes, I have it noted right here in the footnote. If you look at the, you don't have the file. We already have it as a. We have the alternate readings given as footnotes, and I have here BBT Niruddha. Okay, a commentary on this. This verse once more confirms that the Supreme Lord has potencies which are real, even though they mysteriously seem contrary to one another. The word Anurunadhi. Arunadhi, that's also again wrong. Anurunadhi. Okay, let me mark that it's spelled wrong again. Sorry, hold on a second. I marked the wrong place. Anurunadhi. The word anurunadi means kindly obliges. The Lord acquiesces to the desires of jiva's rebellions against him. So they're not agreeing with his desires, but he's being kind and letting them have what they want anyway. He personally creates and maintains a separate world for them. And in due course of time, he destroys it. Dravyani, or substances, are the five gross elements of creation: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Kriya, you might say, well, why not the subtle elements? Because the subtle elements, ahankar and buddhi, are going to be on this list separately. So this is the five gross elements, the dravyas. Kriyas, the active agents, are the senses of the material bodies. Karakas, the facilitators of activity, are the ruling demigods of each sense. Just like karakas in a sentence help the verb. So the demigods help us do things. They're karakas. Chaitana, the power of consciousness, is the component of subtle bodies which exercises the capacity of discrimination, called buddhi. Atma can mean self in several different senses. Here it is ahankar, the subtlest material element, which imposes false identities on those who choose to forget they are servants of God. Okay, now we go to text 15. These are short anuchedas. Tasam achintyatvam aha atmeshvaro tarkya sahasva shaktihi iti spashtam. That these energies are inconceivable is affirmed in the words, he is the supreme soul, the absolute controller with thousands of inconceivable energies. So we're covering the idea that these energies are mutually, the material and spiritual energies contradict one another. How can they do that? They're all his energies, and everything should be consistent. Well, it's because they're inconceivable energies. They do things that are apparently impossible. That was statement was from the very last chapter of the third canto. Maybe it's spoken by Devahuti. It is, yeah, spoken by Devahuti. The meaning of which is self-evident. So Jiva Goswami won't explain it for us because we're supposed to understand it. Self-evident. Uktam cha chintyatvam shrutes tu shabdam mulatvat ityadau. Atmani chaivam vichitrashi chahi ityadau. Okay, this inconceivability is also expressed in such statements as, and these are two statements from the two sutras, from the Vedanta Sutra. One of them is, Shrutes tu shabda mulatvat. Okay, to translate this in such a way that it makes some sense, you have to add something, you have to fill in the missing information that's given in the commentary. So the statement is actually saying, because the revealed scripture says otherwise, and knowledge of the Supreme is derived from transcendental sound. Well, even that is out of context. It's an answer. What is it an answer to? What is because of what? But anyway, this is at least a coherent sentence, and we'll have to, I think it's explained in the commentary. Because the revealed scriptures say otherwise, and knowledge of the Supreme is derived from transcendental sound, shrutes tu shabda mulatvat. Because the Shruti is based on Shabda. Okay, the sutra is just giving a reason, but there's a reason for something, and that's explained in the commentary. I hope I say something in my commentary here. Yeah, I do. So we'll come to that in a minute, what that actually means in context. And then another statement, another sutra. They're actually two consecutive sutras, 2127 and 2128, one after another, in the Vedanta. The second one, Atmani chaivam vichitras chahi. In the same way, indeed, there are also varieties in the Supreme Soul. Okay,
that's also still don't exactly understand what it means. In fact, I have a note to myself. I'm not sure whether I got that translated appropriately. Let's see. And there are other sutras that state this. What we're trying to state is how the Lord's energies are inconceivable. Anyway, the words cited above from the third canto were spoken by Sri Devahuti to Sri Kapiladeva, just a short part of a verse. But that's the subject matter of this one short anuchet. And the commentary, I hope, explains what the Vedanta Sutra was saying in those two sutras. Let's see. Commentary. Shortly before the battle of Kurukshetra commenced, Dhritarashtra heard from his secretary, Sanjaya, an explanation of what it means to be inconceivable. Now, this is from the Bhishma Parva 6th chapter. I think the Bhagavad Gita begins in the 13th chapter of the Bhishma Parva, or somewhere around there. So this is just a few chapters before the Bhagavad Gita, before the battle is about to begin. We know that Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra are sitting back in the capital. He's hearing from Sanjaya an eyewitness account of the battle. But this is before things actually start. They're having some philosophical discussion. And Sanjaya is explaining to Dhritarashtra what inconceivable means. I don't know what question Dhritarashtra asked to get that information. But anyway, Sanjaya said, Achintya kaluye bhava natam starkena yojayet. It says here, sadayet in this version. Prakriti, achintya kaluye bhava natam starkena sadayet. Prakriti bhyak param yattu tadachintyasya lakshanam. Prabhupada quotes this quite often. Our acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they quote this very often. But we often hear the version Tarkena Yojayet. Anyway, it means the same thing. Translation, things that are real but inconceivable cannot be explained logically. The idea of inconceivable is that something is beyond the laws of nature. Mahabharata Bhishma Parva 6.11. Okay, and then the two... Okay, anyway, that's the definition of achintya, and we get it from Sanjaya, the chariot driver of Dhritarashtra. I guess Dhritarashtra is pretty old and he's blind, so he doesn't ride in his chariot too much. So I guess Sanjaya has other, he gets to do other things because he's not driving chariot very often. The two sutras of the Vedanta cited here form part of an argument about the inconceivable way in which the Supreme expands without changing. That's what's inconceivable. In the context of the Vedanta, two sutras, discussion about how the Lord, the Supreme, can expand. Brahman can expand, but not change. A speculation might be proposed that some finite soul could have been the cause of the material creation. Srila Vyasadeva, speaking on behalf of the Vedantists, counters that such a finite creator, would have to exhaust his whole substance in expanding into the creation. And according to the Upanishads, the jiva soul never undergoes transformation, even while constantly taking and putting aside changeable bodies. But then the opponent might interject, the Supreme Soul, Brahman, also cannot be the creator for the same two reasons. He would use himself up and expanding, and he's not supposed to change anyway. Same, the argument for the jiva, those two arguments, it applies also to Brahman, doesn't it? No, Srila Vyasadeva answers in these two sutras. The Upanishads say unequivocally that everything of this created world has evolved from Brahman. This may seem to imply that Brahman thus undergoes the transformation, but the Upanishads have the absolute authority of aparusheya shabda praman, verbal revelation, unlimited by the imperfections of any author. And their apparent contradictions must be accommodated. We have to accept what the Upanishads say, So if they say something that seems to be contradictory, we have to modify the way we understand it. The perfect words of the Shruti are the only fully reliable way to know the Supreme. We must accept what the Shruti says, that Brahman, by his inconceivable potencies, expands without changing, and in this way, he exhibits unlimited variety within and without himself. Okay, I guess that explains the two sutras. It at least tells us the context in which they were spoken. Okay. The argument is that the Supreme Soul can't, any more than a finite jiva, the Supreme Soul can't be the creator of the universe because he would use his energies up in creating everything. And also, he's not supposed to do any changing. No, somehow he does it anyway because the Upanishads say he does. And Shrutes tu Shabda Mulatvat. The Shruti, the Upanishads, the Vedas in general, are founded on perfect transcendental sound, not ordinary Shabda, not just their noise or even ordinary language, but their perfect language. Everything they say must be accepted as true. Vedas cannot say anything wrong. We may understand it wrong. So Vedas say, the Upanishads say the Lord is the creator, this Brahman is the creator of everything that exists. We must understand that somehow. And the second sutra says, Atmani Chaivam Vachitrasi. Indeed, there is variety in the Supreme Soul. Not that he can't undergo any substantial change, but he can manifest variety, including the variety of the material creation can manifest from him by his inconceivable energies. Okay, now we have a longer anuchade, 16, which I've broken up into see how many parts here. It's 5, 7, goes on, I think, to the end of the file. That makes 10 parts of Anuchade 16. Okay. Start from the beginning. 16.1. Shaktes tu tatsvabhavika rupatvam aha sattvam rajastama iti trivide kamadau sutram mahanahamiti pravadanti jivam. Jnana kriyarta palarupata yoru shakti brahmaiva bhati sadasachatayok param yat. That these energies are innate in him is stated. This is stated in, let's see, 129. Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 3. That would be one of the Yogendras speaking to Nimi Maharaj. The statement is, originally one, the absolute Brahman comes to be known as threefold. He's one, but he gets to be known as three, manifesting itself as the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So not only spiritual variety, but even the material variety is expanding from the perfect absolute. Okay, he doesn't change, but this is another kind of his variety. The material creation is also variety expanding by inconceivable energy from the Supreme Lord, from the Supreme Brahman. Brahman further expands its potency, and thus the power to act and the power of consciousness become manifest, followed by false ego. This is in the material world. Authorities declare that all these are non-different from the spirit soul. As the multipotencies of the absolute expand, there appear consciousness and activity, their objectives, and the final goal of life. In this way, Brahman becomes the subtle causes
and the effects of creation. At the same time, Brahman remains transcendental to all subtle and gross material manifestations. That's a statement from the 11th canto. Brahman, okay, it doesn't change, but by his inconceivable energies, he expands all the variety of material creation, the causes and effects of material creation. Brahmaiva Uru Shakti Anekatmaka Shakti Mad Bhati Eva Karena Brahmana Eva Sa Shaktir Natu Kalpita Swabhavika Rupatvam Shaktir Bodhayati. Brahman appears with numerous energies. That is, he appears as possessing energies of many kinds. The word Eva, only, indicates that Brahman's energy comes from him alone and is not a false product of imagination. This further means that his energy appears naturally, it's swabhavika. Tatra hetuhu. Yad Brahma Sat Stulam Karyam Prithivyadi Rupam Asat Sukshmam Karanam Prakrityadi Rupam Tayor Bahiranga Vaibhavayo Param Swarupa Vaibhavam Sri Vaikunta Adi Rupam Tatasta Vaibhavam Shuddha Jiva Rupam Cha Anyata Tad Tad Abhav Asiddhi. Proof of this, that Brahman's energies come from alone, from him alone, and are not false products of imagination. Proof of this is given that Brahman itself is all of these. He is Sat, the gross products of creation like earth and so on. He is Asat, the subtle causes like primeval nature. Brahman is the essential spiritual opulence beyond these two external opulences, which is seen as Sri Vaikuntha, and so on. He's the causes of material creation, he's the products of material creation, and he's the spiritual existence also of Vaikuntha. And also the marginal opulence, expanding as the pure individual souls. If this were not so, it would be impossible to show logically why all these even exist if they didn't come from him. They'd be inexplicable. Now, Brahmaiva Bhati Sad Asat Chatayo Paramyat. The Sat, the Asat, and what is beyond the Sat and Asat. That's what the verse says. And Jiva Goswami has explained what that means. The products of creation, the visible products, what we see, the subtle causes that we don't see in creation, and the transcendental existence beyond both. All of that comes from Brahman. Actually, all of it's non-different from Brahman. Then, continuing. Kim rupataya tad tad rupam tatraha jnana kriyarta pala rupataya mahad adi lakshana jnana shakti rupatvena sutra adi lakshana kriya shakti rupatvena tad matra adi lakshana arta rupatvena prakriti lakshana tat tat sarvaikya rupatvena cha sad asad rupam pala rupatvena tayok param. Okay, how is he Sat, Asat, and what is beyond Sat and Asat? That's answered, or the translation. In what modes do each of these manifestations appear? This is answered in the modes of knowledge, activity, objects of desire, and fruits of endeavor. Well, that's what the verse says. Dravya kriya arta pala rupata yoru shakti. So in the forms, modes of knowledge, activity, objects of desire, and fruits of endeavor. Now that's explained. That is to say, they appear in the form of the potency of knowledge, that's the first one, jnana, as the mahatattva and so on. In the form, because Mahatattva is the manifestation, the material manifestation of intelligence. But consciousness manifests materially, first of all, in the Mahatattva. Mahatattva reflects spiritual consciousness. In the form of the potency of activity, kriya, as the sutra tattva and so on. Sutra tattva is the Mahatattva predominated by passion. Passion predominating means things start to happen. There's activity. So in the sutra tattva, things start to happen. Things change. And so on. In the form of objects of desire, that's artha, and that is manifestation of tamogun, the actual physical substance. In the form of objects of desire, as the subtle forms of perception and so on. First the tanmatras, then the senses, and then the elements. Or the elements and then the senses. And then in the form of gross effect and subtle cause, sat and asat, as the amalgamation of each of these in the original material nature, and in the form of the fruit of endeavor beyond both effect and cause. Okay. You put together everything that comes out of the Mahatattva, especially in the form of objects of desire, all of this comprises the causes and effects of material creation. And then there is the fruit of endeavor, the purpose of life that lies beyond material cause and effect, the spiritual existence. Tatra palam purusharta swarupam savaibhavam bhagavadakyam cha chidvastu tad anugatatvat shuddha jivakyam chidvastu cha. Specifically, the fruit of endeavor, the essential goal of the human life, is the conscious living entity known as Bhagawan, along with his opulences. And because the pure individual soul reflects the Supreme Lord's nature, he is also a conscious living entity. Evam etena jnana kriyati rupen oru shakti tvam vyanjitam. Thus it is revealed that the Supreme has numerous energies in the modes of knowledge, activity, and so on. So all this is said by this verse. Spoken in the what? Where is it? Third chapter of the 11th canto. Okay, now this verse will be discussed for the rest of this anuchade. Goes on to the end of the file. Commentary. When material nature is first agitated by the glance of Lord Mahavishnu, she separates into the primeval energies of action and consciousness, reflected in matter. These two are called the Sutra and the Mahan, action and consciousness. Action is reflected in the Sutra Tattva, which is evolving from the Mahatattva, and the original Mahatattva is the manifestation of consciousness reflected in matter. The three modes of nature then cause Sutra and Mahan to evolve all the elements of creation. According to the Upanishads, which both the personless and impersonless school of Vedanta accept as absolute authority, the absolute truth alone is the basis of all reality. That's a basic proposition of all Vedantists. There is one absolute truth. Everything that exists evolves from that absolute truth. Other philosophers may have a different idea, but this is the basic idea of Vedanta. Whether you're a Vaishnava or an impersonalist, if you ascribe to Vedanta, this is your basic view. Ekam Advitiyam Brahma. Brahman is one without a second, from the Chandogya Upanishad. The existence of duality cannot be properly explained if it is not assumed to originate from the absolute truth. Either, as the personalists propose, the living entities and the cognitive and active powers of material nature are energies of Brahman,
Or else, as the impersonalists try to establish, they are transformations of Brahman imposed on it by an inexplicable power of illusion. Okay, you can take your pick. If you want to be an impersonalist, you know, there are arguments. You can try to justify yourself. But the Vaishnavs they have counter arguments. Okay, I'm going to have to stop here. It's a little early, but. Okay, any questions, submit them, give them to me in writing, or put them on the comm conference, or put them on the website, or the web forum. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.